Francis. Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and why you got involved in Threads of Time too?
Yeah, sure. So I'm an amateur artist. I would say by and large I'm a mixed media printer artist, but the notion of working with textiles has always been of some interest to me. So I'm definitely a knitter and a stitcher, but wanting to do more applied textile art. So the reason I got involved in Threads of Time 2 is primarily that I'd been involved in Threads of Time 1, and I thoroughly enjoyed that and did a piece of stumpwork embroidery for that and thought it was the most fantastic project to be involved in. Really loved finding out about the archives that supported it, and so when a second year was announced, Threads of Time 2, very quick to sign up because I knew it was going to be just as good, if not better.
Great. And so can you tell us a bit about your piece this year, the camel?
Yes, no, very, very pleased to do that. A lot of my life last year was dedicated to the stump work. In fact, it was really the primary thing that I did last year. And I just thought that this year, to save my sanity, I would do something that was not quite so time consuming, but just as much fun and take me in a new direction. So it was a case of thinking about a theme, and I was mindful of the fact that much of the history that I was reading about had at its roots journeys, travel, people being expelled from lands and coming to England, so that's the Carmelites, or people setting up with the Levant Company and trade and really building lives and creating memories based on travel and possessions, and all that seemed very exciting. I also became interested in the silk routes a little bit and their origins back way back into sort of 7th century China.
So were there particular documents in the collection that you were inspired by, or was it the general?
I would say it was the whole sweep. I think this time around, rather than doing one event, I was very much taken with the whole passage of time that was reflected in the records. And the reason for the choice of the camel was that I needed to find a symbol that might reflect all of those centuries, and it seemed to me that through all of them had walked the camel as a symbol of what was going on. So really that made me very quickly able to identify what I wanted to do. The main question was then how I was going to do it, and I had become interested in needle felting, and thought that that was just the thing to do, and found that that was kind of an easy project to pursue that way.
So what is needle felting?
So it is, in effect, it's the same process that you get if you take your very best jumper and you put it in the boil wash, and what comes out is something that's, you know, a quarter of the size and very distressing. That's what needle felting is, but it's done intentionally. So you take raw wool, and rather than using water, you're using barbed needles that are very sharp, and you're just pushing them in and out very rapidly of the raw wool, and what that does is gradually it meshes the fibres together and contracts them, and the more you do of that, the more solid the resulting mass of
wool
becomes.
So it becomes sort of fuzzy.
Yeah, it becomes fuzzy and then very dense, and if you keep on going, it becomes a very thick felt, and there's a huge history. Nomadic people have always worn felted clothes or shoes. It's incredibly warm, and if you're using raw wool with a lanolin, it's very waterproof, so it's a very indestructible material and much tougher than perhaps the felt that you would buy, you know, just for decorating purposes.
So is the camel made of felt all the way through, or is he
he's got an armature, so there is a wire frame inside him, and that enables him to be positioned a little bit, so if I wanted I could put him in different poses, but he and I are past that stage now. He's just fixed onto a base. And the challenge for me was really building up the body so that it looked really quite camel-like.
So how did you do that? I hear you went to a zoo.
Yes, we went to Paradise Wildlife Park and followed the camel around for a while. And unfortunately, for most of the time, it was the wrong end of the camel that was facing me. But, you know, you get past that. Looking on the internet at camel structure, the face of a camel is the most peculiar thing, really. And the more you look at it, the more weird it becomes. But it has got very distinct muscles, and the lips are quite unmistakable, really, I would say, once you've seen a camel's lips close to. So it's a case of really trying to replicate those. And there are people out there who are very experienced needle felters, and so there's plenty of advice as to how to go about building up your armature and your skeleton. And then you do all that and you put the finishing touches, so the eyes and the ears, and hey presto, a camel is born.
Fantastic. I love the idea that there are forums out there where people can advise you on making a camel out of felt. That's fantastic. Okay, and so he evolved then over several months?
Yes, prodding with the needle every time. I mean, it's quite a good stress releaser as well, taking a sharp needle and plunging it into
the... So that was the white layer, and then you built up a coat.
Exactly, yes, that's right.
Final coat, dot coat.
Number of posters and pictures of him in his underwear, if I'm putting it with the white layer, but then take a layer of really top fine wool, and that was the orange layer, and just layer it over the top so you can't really see the coarser wool that's underneath.
Okay, so it's the same process but with a different
colour. Yes,
wool.
It is. Yes, absolutely. So then he's dressed and ready to go.
And what he's carrying.
Yes, so over the top of the camel is a hoop, metal hoop, and attached to the hoop are a number of different coloured bags, and the colours of the bags are symbolising the different royal households that were on the throne over the centuries, really from the Lancastrians and Plantagenets all the way through to present time. And in each of the bags, what I have put are a selection of miniature items which are representative of the items and goods and chattels that are referenced in the records of the Delm Radcliffe family, but also the Carmelite friars before then, so that you can enjoy looking at the process, I suppose, of the passage of a whole sweep of time from sort of 13th century all the way through, really, by just by looking at the possessions that people would have had. And those were sourced by many hours spent at the computer pressing the buttons. And, you know, thank you, eBay, and thank you many other makers of miniatures out there, because I now firmly believe there is nothing that you cannot buy in 1/12th scale. You know, you can set me a challenge, I will go find it, even to the point of, you know, miniature stained glass windows and things like that. So it's all out there, and it was just terrific fun discovering the equivalent of sort of Doll's House interiors, really, but spanning history. So they all went in the bags, and really that was the camel complete. And it's about the things that men may find in the world when they travel, and that is really a lot of the history that we've been privileged to look at in these archives.
That's great. So were there any sort of particular sort of surprises or, you know, interesting discoveries you made along the way in your research?
I think probably not. I mean, in that what was interesting was just the diversity of the family and the things that they got interested in. I think that I wouldn't say that they were particularly surprising, because after all, they get talked about a lot at our meetings, so you sort of absorb the excitement and difference and diversity of it all anyway. And the challenge for me then was, what is it? A bit like, you know, forming archives, what is it that you select that is most representative of the era that you're looking at? And so the history of the family and of the Carmelite friars beforehand was very much one of, what is it that it is most symbolic? What is it that can best go in the bag that the camel is carrying, that says this is what life was like at the time, and these are the things that they were focused on and concerned with? And what I really did like, I suppose, at the end of it, was just to be able to look at the sweep of the possessions, because just looking at the possessions as they go over time is a little quick snapshot for me as to what each century has brought and contributed. And it's a nice way of learning your history as well.
That's great. Do you have any final reflections on your experiences of the whole project, which obviously started last October?
Yes. No, I have enjoyed it, absolutely. It's the most brilliant project to be involved in, because everybody comes at it with a different perspective. So we have a range of artists and embroiderers and textile people, and they each come, we're all showing the same archives, but everybody immediately starts going in their different directions and bringing their own interpretations to it. And just to feed off that creative enthusiasm and that interplay of ideas and learning from each other is absolutely superb, and it makes for a really terrific creative project. And beyond all that, it teaches us about our history, and for me, that is what it's all about, really.
Thank you very much.